Good evening, everybody, and it's indeed a privilege to stand before you and say a few words on Psalm 14, our devotion night. Now, before I come to Psalm 14, I just want to read to you a few words what Paul has got to say about Psalms. I'm reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in your body richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us the time to come together to study your word, and in particular Psalm 14 today. Lord, we do pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us to wisdom and to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before I read this Psalm 14, we spend some time as by way of introduction. Now, this psalm is written by King David and he's the author. Of 150 psalms, he's the author for 73, which is about 50%. But there are some commentators say that it might be more than 50 because there are some 51 psalms which are written anonymously. Now, this Psalm 14 is simply headed to the chief musician. Now, David's intention is that it is for public worship. He therefore directs it to the chief, the director of musician. The chief musician would probably set the tone and the choice of instruments for the occasion. Shall we now turn to Psalm 14, and I'll just read through it. Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Hath all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were to come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Now, we have dealt with Psalms, the previous Psalms, like 11 and 13, in the recent weeks, and they are all similarly addressed to the chief musician. But notice how David comes to the Most High. For example, in Psalm 11, this is how he opens the psalm. In the Lord put I my trust. Then in Psalm 13, David says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? This is all addressed to the Lord. Other recent psalms, that we have learned already, they all start by calling on the name of the Lord. Now let's look at Psalm 5, starting with Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Psalm 7. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Similarly, we have also Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now as we progress in our study on the book of Psalms, you can see many more examples. And in Psalm 14, the Psalm that we are studying tonight, David says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable work, since there is none that doeth good. Now you compare these approaches, Psalm 14 has no hint of coming to the Lord to praise, for thanks, for comfort, or to complain. Now this leads some commentators to say that nothing but hymns of praise are to be sung. But the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 verse 16. Let's turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 verse 16. So for those commentators who say that it's only hymns of praise must be sung, here are Paul's words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. In psalms. Of course, and he also continued to say that, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that may put some of these commentators at ease as to what Paul has got to say. Now personally, I think I cannot overemphasize the wisdom of the Psalms for teaching and admonishing one another. Now Jesus himself has also stamped his authority and position regarding the book of Psalms. In Luke chapter 20, let's turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 41 and 42. Luke chapter 20, verse, and this is what Jesus said. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now, this is how important it is that Jesus himself has referred to the Psalm. Now, actually, this is the only time that Jesus has referred or attributed this book of Psalms to David and said, David himself said in the book of Psalms. And this is the only time it's being mentioned in the New Testament of Jesus quoting David's name in the book of Psalms. Now from Psalm 14, there are a few lessons that we can learn. I have listed them, and the first lesson that we can read or understand is that the world is foolish. The second one, its influence in corrupting morals. Third one, the persecuting tendencies of sinners. Fourth, danger for the ungodly and victory for the lost. Now I shall now deal with the first lesson that we have learned. The first verse says, the foolish has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. He's talking about the world now. The world is foolish. It is foolish to speak against God. The atheist is usually foolish or wicked. He is foolish because he does not accept the existence of God as evidence from things that we see, feel, and happen all around us. He is wicked because he refuses to live by God's commandments, even on moral laws, but he walks in the opposite direction. Number two, we learn about its influence in corrupting morals. Psalm 14 verses 1 to 3. He who rejects God usually wants to cover up his sins. He wants to justify or rationalize his sinning ways. Now this is also being made clear by Paul in Romans chapter 3 verse 10. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now the third lesson that underscored this psalm is Psalm 14 verse 4. The persecuting tendencies of sinners. Now David writes what his enemies have done. Eating up my people as they eat bread. So this goes back to there is none that does good. Now David in Psalm 17 verse 3 brings out his relationship with God, that the evil sinners and ungodly can never say. Now this is what David said. Thou hast moved my heart. Thou hast visited me in my night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Because all believers can walk in this direction. The fourth lesson that we learn is the danger for the ungodly and victory for the lost. Evil people shall be in great fear because God is in the generation of the righteous. God is the refuge for the people put to shame. Now, ultimately, victory for all of us is with the Lord. Salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. The Lord rules. His He rules his people that are in captivity, and the Lord brings them home. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, to thank you for the time spent with us, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit leading us into the wisdom of your words here. Lord, we do thank you that the ultimate victory of all believers is with the Lord through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, I shall now hand the meeting to Pastor. He may have a few things to say, Pastor.